Hello, welcome to the Center Court Podcast. I'm Travis Lazarczyk for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel, alongside, as always, my colleague Drew Bonifant. Drew, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good, good. Had a good week of basketball, and we have some big games coming up, so let's get to our guest. It's Winthrop Boys Basketball Head Coach Todd McArthur. Todd, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about being here, and hopefully I can give some input on some things.
And, Coach, we'll start off with the big game from yesterday. It's one of the biggest games of the season at this point. You had Madison up at your place, and it was a matchup of unbeatens and a 52-38 win for your side. Talk about just how the team approached that game and what a win like that does for going forward.
You know, first off, we're excited we came away with a victory. We have much respect for Madison as a program and players and coaching staff. It's a big game just because of the, you know, two unbeaten and you're jockeying for heel points at this time. We only play them once, so it was kind of big to try to get that game. So in terms of prepping for them, you know, we had seen them multiple times in terms of scouting. So we, you know, prepped practice with as much as we knew about them. And, you know, just like any game that's big, a tournament game or a heel point game, you go into it prepared. And I felt like we were prepared. We kind of knew what they were going to do. And the only thing we didn't know was how they were going to defend us. And that was kind of how they chose to defend us, because they were going to sag a little bit and kind of focus on Hickey and take away our big. So it gave us an opportunity to knock down some shots and the opportunity for some of my young guns to step in there and make some shots. So that was kind of the surprising thing for me to be happy with, is to see the development of my youth. So that was the nice part. So, but they're tough. They got Jarvis. And they got Morales, and kind of the game plan going was kind of contest them, keep Morales out of the paint, and, you know, contest Jarvis and all the shots, and limit them to one and done. So we tried to do going into it.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a scrappy game going back and forth in that first half. You started taking control in the second quarter. In the second half, some big performances off the bench. Nate LeBlanc scoring 18 points elevated you. What's the? I mean, I'll get to that in a second. But what's the kind of the approach to a game like that, where you want to make sure? Make the importance of the game clear to your players, because that's not a game where you want to come out and not be matching the intensity of it, but you also don't want to
overhype it.
Exactly.
And that's kind of, to be honest with you, and I think that Coach Ferber should probably agree with this. I don't think it lived up to the hype, and to be honest, because I think it was really not their best performance, and it wasn't our best performance, but it is what it was, and in terms of the kids stepping up, you know. You know, they rose to the occasion. You don't want to overhype something, but you also want the kids to know that, you know, this is a big game, because you want them to get prepared for the tournament time when, you know, it's either win or you go home. So you got to get that experience into some kids, and, you know, you got to try to calm their nerves before games and hopefully settle down. I think the big thing for us was at home. So the familiarity of being home was a nice settling ease for my kids. So that was a big thing, and, you know, we're a high-intense team. I'm a high-intense coach. I'm passionate. I get worked up. They know that. That's how we play. So I don't really worry about that with my kids, because they're going to go, you know, I shouldn't, but I ride the coaching roller coaster. And I think sometimes, you know, my kids do too, but they always respond. And that's what I like best about my team. So they did that yesterday.
How much did you guys look forward to this game? I know nobody ever wants to, you know, look too far ahead. You want to, you know, focused on the task at hand, but, you know, as you're clicking off games, we say, all right, we're two away from Madison, we're one away from Madison. Did you think about it too much?
Well, to be honest, no, because there's too many good teams in our conference, and I don't care about records. This year is a lot of parity, and if you don't show up, you can be taken down. And we just had Wiscasset on Saturday, so we really didn't look ahead in terms of Madison, you know, coming up. We really want to take care of Wiscasset. As soon as the Wiscasset game was over, and that's when we started talking. And that's when we went to work as a coaching staff and, you know, put together our game plan and try to get as much stuff as we could on them. So that's when we started to hype the game up to our kids in terms of how important it was for us to try to grab this one.
So. The depth seemed to really stand out for your team in this game, where you played Haldale Erland, who's gone off to a really good start too. Yeah. And the trio, Hickey, Garrett Suprake, and Cam Wood inside, I think they combined for something like 56, 58 points, something along that line. yesterday they combined for 29 points,
yep.
and you won by 14. I mean, that's got to be a good statement on how many people can contribute to this team.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We kind of got a three-headed monster there with two bigs and then a perimeter player. So, it's hard for a team to pick their poison in terms of who they want to take away. Last year it was always Hickey, and that was one of the things going into the offseason was we got to find some more contributors. And fortunately for us, Supreg is a player that got comfortable at the end of the season last year. He's got great moves down low. And then we had, a 6'8 kid fell into our lap, really. Not many coaches can say that some 6'8 kid walks into your program. It's a blessing. I can't teach height. So, and he's really developed. And that's a tip of my hat to him in terms of how much time he's put into his game. So it's tough for a team to match up against on the inside. And the best part about it is we're such a different team than we were last year because we got a core group of that was with us last year when we lost two seniors that is talented, but we also have a nice youth group in terms of sophomore class that is getting comfortable and that's getting the varsity experience, and we're starting to blend them in. I know I went through 6 years, but this is probably the most talented team I've coached. It's about putting the pieces together and getting it right for when it's going to matter most. And we're excited about the potential for growth. We still have tons of room to grow, so that's exciting.
What are some of the big games you guys have coming up, Coach?
As always, we got Carabec on Friday, and then we got stretch here. We go Lisbon, who's playing well, and then we got Booth Bay, and I have the utmost respect for Coach Pinkham. He's the godfather of our conference. I mean, you don't get 600 wins by showing up, so
sure.
They're getting better. And then we got them twice, and we got Wiscasset again, and then we got Halldale again, too. So our schedule's not getting any easier. And to be honest with you, this is the way I like it. You want your schedule to get tougher as you go to prep you for tournament time when it matters. So I'm looking forward to it. We're not looking ahead by any means on any team. We're going to take it one at a time, but we definitely have some games that are going to prepare us for when it matters most.
Okay, let's look at some of the things that are kind of happening in the state right now. One game that caught my eye from Tuesday night was Richmond Valley in the East-West Conference. Richmond went up to Bingham and won 76-68, but it turned into kind of a duel between Richmond's Zach Small, who ended up with 43 points, and Austin Cates from Valley, who ended up with 40. And we were just talking amongst ourselves about the player at George Stevens Academy. What's his name? Taylor
Shildroth.
Yeah. Shildroth. Taylor, if we got it wrong, we apologize, who recently scored 61 points in a game. And got me thinking about some of the better individual efforts I've ever seen. I think the first one that jumps out to my mind is in the 2004 Eastern Maine Class A final. Ralph Mims from Brunswick went off and scored 41 points of Brunswick's 51 in a 51-42 win over Bangor. At one point, he scored 35 of Brunswick's points in a row. Everybody in the Bangor auditorium knew he was going to take shot, and nobody on Bangor could stop him. It was just just incredible to see him just take over the game like that. Coach or Drew, what are some of the better individual efforts you guys have seen? I know, Drew, it would probably have been, in New Hampshire or something, that you're being new to Maine basketball. But
yeah, this is a little background. I was at the I was in Concord, New Hampshire up until just this fall coming here. So, most of the players I saw were in the New Hampshire area. One player who – this kid wasn't – so much a scorer all the time, but he could score when he wanted to. His name was Jordan Bell. He played for Bishop Brady and now plays at Colby Sawyer. And just an excellent player. He was a flash of the basket, was a distributor, but when the team was playing really good, when they're up against the top opponent, he could take it himself. And, he could be a 35, 40-point scorer. Another kid was a sharpshooter from Pembroke Academy in our area named Patrick Welch. He was, he could do nothing but hit jumpers and still score. Scoring the 30, so those are players that jump to mind. I haven't seen Shildroth play, so I'm not sure exactly how he goes about playing. Whether he's most of a shooter or cutting the basket, but that's what comes to mind, Coach.
Well, a real quick point on Shildroth is that we played him in the preseason, and as opposing coach, if I were to face him, he'd give me nightmares because he's just an all around player. He can shoot it from anywhere. And I think the biggest threat with him is not only can he shoot it from anywhere, he involves his teammates, so he can pass. So he's just an incredible player. I have much respect for him. I've seen him play, and he's really good. I'm going to stick close to the MVC. Just this year, I watched Ethan James from Wiscasset, and I think he scored 45. I'm not positive on that, but against Mountain Valley, and that he can play. He can do it from outside. He can do it from inside. So that was pretty impressive. And then I'll stick close to home for me. Would be I've seen one of my own players, Hickey, scored 41 last year versus Lisbon. Wow. So and that was kind of fun to watch for one of your own kids to do that, to get over the 40 mark. And he did it always. Obviously, he can shoot from the perimeter, but he got to the rim. So, and then being a little bit of history in the Winthrop program, TJ Cowett was.
Sure.
He has tons of records at Winthrop, and I've watched game film of him, and wow, boy, was he fun to watch.
Yeah. Being a Lawrence grad like yourself, do you have any memories of seeing Cindy Blodgett play back in the day?
I do. I saw Cindy play. I was really young, but real quick story about her is. I think I was in high school, and she came to one of our practices, and
oh, wow.
I didn't realize how good she was until she crossed up one of our point guards and made him fall, and I think at that point we all realized, wow, she's the real deal. So, yeah, I remember her battling against Coney, you know, with Amy Vachon, and she was fun to watch. She definitely changed the game a little bit.
Sure.
So.
Looking back at one of the big games, again, from Tuesday night, Coney with an upset win over Hamden, Hamden's first loss of the season. Coach, you were talking about earlier, you know, the way Coney approached the game, just, you know, subbing in five at a time early on to just get everybody into the flow of it.
Well, you know, TJ Maines is one heck of a coach. I love being around him because he thinks differently than most coaches.
Right.
He wants to bring pressure, and he wants to get up a lot of shots. He believes in the three-point shot, and I was talking this summer, and he was talking about the Grinnell style, and he's been fully committed to doing it, and he's getting those kids in and out, and they're getting after it. They're fresh legs, and they're able to shoot when they're on. They're dangerous. They can play with anybody. Three-point shots, sometimes you don't always make them, so when you don't make them, that's when you're going to lose some games. But the one thing about TJ is he's going to get kids to play by playing exciting basketball style, a brand, and he's done that at Coney, and I bet it'll be fun to watch. I don't get to see him too much during the season, but we play against him this summer, and I wouldn't want to play against
that. I saw that Grinnell team, college team from Iowa, that if you don't know, gets out, they will sub like a hockey team. Five on, five out, they'll go a minute or so. They come down, they will put up 53 pointers in a game, if not more, and routinely score 100 and 125 points. Saw them at Colby about 10 years ago, and it was just an absolute blast to watch this in action. So if a high school team were to able to pull that off, it's tough because you don't have the depth that a college team might have. But if a high school team could pull it off, that would be something. Drew, what are some of the games you might be looking forward to coming up this weekend or early next week?
I'm interested to see how Coney reacts to the slate that's coming up. They have Gardner coming up tomorrow, and then they have Messalonsky over the weekend. That's going to be really big. It's going to be really big for them to make some noise in what's becoming a really tight KVAC race Class A. It looked like Hampton was doing the normal Hampton thing. They're undefeated, kind of getting out to pacing this group. And then Coney beats them, and now it's if these teams are, if there's that little gap between these two teams, well, then that suddenly seems to condense the whole standings. And so it's going to be interesting to see if Coney can keep that, can bring that energy into these games. They played Gardner early in the season and lost in the last, on a basket, and on a putback in the last seconds of the game.
Right.
So there's going to be some emotion in there.
Big rivalry anyway.
Yeah, it's a rivalry. Yeah, you don't have to drum up any pretense rivalry between those two schools. That's going to be a big game. Messalonsky was projected to be a top team in the class. So that's going to be a good matchup. And is there a hangover from this Hamden game? That's the biggest win they've had this season. How do they come out from that with these games?
Sure.
How about you?
For me, I'm going to be seeing a game tomorrow night. Nokomis and Skowhegan girls. Kind of battling for the top spot in the KVAC A on the girls' side, the North. Nokomis had their first loss of the season a little while ago, losing at Gardner, but bounced back with a 55-17 win over Belfast. And for Skowhegan, this starts a tough stretch where they have games, four games in a row with, Nokomis, a very good Class B Winslow team that knocked off Lawrence Tuesday night. And then that same Lawrence team, and then Messalonsky, who... another team that's undefeated in the conference and contending for the regional title and could probably make a claim that could be contending for a state title as well. So this Nokomis-Skowhegan game on Thursday night in Skowhegan could kind of be a bellwether game entering the second half of the season for both teams.
It's That's exactly right. I mean, because I've seen Skowhegan and Meskolonski on the girls' side earlier this year, and Skowhegan has a lot of inexperience, a lot of young players who are playing above how everybody probably expected them to play. They went 6-12 last year. You would have thought this would be a rebuilding season, and they're undefeated at the top of Class A. If they win those games and it's they're something in one or something in all against Meskolonski, that's going to be a huge game because Meskolonski looks like they're making themselves the class of the league right now.
Definitely. All right, that's going to do it for us on this week's edition of Center Court. Coach MacArthur, thanks for coming in.
Thank you guys for having me. This was great. I appreciate it.
Okay, Drew, we'll see you around. And
definitely.
For Drew Bonifant, I'm Travis Ozarczyk. We will talk to you next time on Center Court.